is Chris Smith and Richard Van Norden here on The Naked Scientist. If you want to check us out in Second Life, you go to the Cylans continent and you go to Naked Scientist headquarters, which is in there.
So far, we've found out how we can use technology to help us generate cheaper, greener electricity. But it's not just energy we have to think about to be sustainable. And Asif Din will be joining us very soon to explain how architects can help by making us green by design. But first of all, we sent Meera Senthilingam to the Science Museum's Science of Survival exhibit to discover the importance of being water-wise.
Link established.
Eco.
Dog.
Bus. Tech. We're communicating with you from the year 2050 via phase transmission.
Hello. 2 minutes.
In 2050, it's harder to find stuff like fresh water, oil and gas.
But here's how you can make things better.
Now, hang on a sec, please.
This week, I've come to the Science Museum in London to visit the new Science of Survival exhibition, which opened last week. The exhibition covers important issues facing our future and our survival, looking into things like global resources, climate change, and the options we have towards a sustainable future. As soon as you walk in, you meet four characters, Buzz, Eco, Tech and Doug, who all have very different views and opinions about how we can have a sustainable future. And throughout the exhibition, each character provides their opinions to give you an idea of just how differently people can see these issues. The main content developer on this exhibition is Melinda Campbell, and she's here with me now to tell me more about the future and our survival. Hello, Melinda.
Hi.
What's the point you're trying to get across?
Well, the first thing we do in the science of survival is we look at different areas that every human being needs to survive. So we look at drinking, eating, enjoying, getting from place to place in moving, and building, which is about regulating body temperature and protecting yourselves from the elements. The fun part about the science of survival is that each section allows kids and families to make their own decisions about what kind of future they want. And on your survival card, the decisions you make and the visual representation of what you created will be remembered for you. And then when you go to Future City at the very end of your visit, you'll be able to see the implications of your choices in your very own neighborhood for 2050.
Another section here in the exhibition is all about drinking and our water supplies in the future. Now, one of the consultants on this section was Jacob Tompkins from Waterwise. Hello, Jacob.
Hello.
So what was involved with the exhibition here? What are the problems with our future water sources?
At the moment, we use about 150 litres per person every single day. It's a huge amount of water. And what we're seeing is we're using more, so that amount we're using is rising every single day because we're taking more showers, we're doing more washing, things like this. And at the same time, we're living in the drier parts of the country, we're living in smaller households, and what climate change really means is more floods and more droughts. So there's going to be less water, it's going to be more difficult to get hold of, and also we're going to be using more.
And so what can we do about this to ease the situation?
Amazingly, it's actually quite simple. As I say, we use about 150 litres every day. About 50 litres of that is simply wasted. And it sounds like a cliche, but, you know, turning the tap off when you brush your teeth. If everyone did that, that would provide enough water to supply the whole of Scotland. Knocking a minute off your shower, don't leave the tap running to get a drink of fresh water, fill a bottle and put it in the fridge. Simple things like this, but don't cut back on cleaning and drinking, obviously.
One of the ways you're getting the message across in the section is through a game. There's various things mentioned in that, like fog farms. So are those potential sources of water in the future?
Probably not in the UK, but it's already being used in the Ethiopian highlands and in parts of South America. They already put up meshes, large nets, which actually catch dew from fog and mist and then condense those. Now, in the UK, we're not that short of water, but we do need to be looking at simple, low-tech solutions like reusing sewage water. Might not sound very nice, but what we could do is we could look at the water from our sewage treatment works, look at purifying that, and you could do it through natural means by reed beds and things like that, and using that to re-augment our rivers or reusing it for supply.
So as well as the games here, there are cabinets showing examples of the solutions. So what kind of things have we got on display here?
It's quite encouraging. There's a lot of low-tech solutions on there. One of the most fun ones is something that's used quite widely in Africa, which are play pumps. They're basically like ordinary things that you find in a playground, seesaws and roundabouts and things. And the kids, actually, while they're playing, pump water. There are also some fairly simple water purification devices. The technical term is flocculate, but what they effectively do is take the particles of dirt or salt out of the water, settle them out, so you've got the fresh drinking water on top. As well as that, there's one that's just come into the UK, actually, which is putting your basin on top of your toilet system.
I actually saw that. I thought it was quite a good idea.
Yeah, when you wash your hands, about a third of the water we use gets flushed down the toilet. So what it's doing is you wash your hands and then that fills up your toilet system. This is grey water reuse, we call this. Grey water and rainwater are being used a lot. There are simple ways that water that is slightly dirty can potentially be reused.
Well, so you say the average person uses 150 litres, and that's just on their own individual needs, but obviously water is used on larger scales just in consumer products and things, aren't they?
Yeah, there's something we call embedded water, which is basically the amount of water that goes into growing a carrot or making the tie I'm wearing or into the car that people drive. If you factor that in, we all use 3,400 litres every single day. So there is massive fluxes of water around the world. And what we need to start thinking about is how much water has gone into the things we're using and where has it come from. The way that people start to think about carbon now, we should also start thinking about water and asking questions, basically. Is it being grown efficiently? Is water being wasted?
That was Jacob Tompkins from Waterwise, making sure we all turn our taps off. Now, I've had some time to go on all the activities here, so I've come to the Future City with content developer Melinda Campbell, who I spoke to earlier, and I'm going to see what kind of world my decisions have resulted in.
Do you want to scan in with your survival card?
Okay, I'm just going to scan in now. Okay, so it's welcomed me to my city in 2050.
In this case, you've designed something that, for your design your own vehicle, you've got something that travels on rails. You've also chosen biofuel to power it. So what this community is showing you is you're actually going to need an entire farm to create the crops for the biofuel. So this is a little bit of infrastructure you might not have thought about when you designed your vehicle. But because it travels on rails, you're going to need these things in your community.
So I guess the exhibition's getting everyone to think about their futures. What is the future of our survival?
I think one of the key messages in the science of survival is that the future is not set. So we try to inspire kids to realize that this is about their daily life, that they can make positive choices for a sustainable future. We all have a part to play in making it an exciting one.
Jacob Tompkins from Waterwise and the Science Museum's Melinda Campbell. They were talking to Mira earlier this week about the importance of reducing water wastage, which is something Dave should know about this week, because later on we'll be finding out if he will put his science where his mouth is and actually drink water purified from his own urine.
The ultimate in sustainable living.